Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 193 of the It's Obvious podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Preston Pugh, and I am joined by one of my very best friends, Jacob Alka.
What's up, dude?
How are you doing?
I'm great, man. How you been?
Oh, I'm hanging in there for sure. Having a good time.
Nice, man. I've had a great week.
Yeah. That's really good. I'm super glad to hear that. Unfortunately, as you can probably already tell, Garrett is not with us yet again.
Where the hell is he?
I don't know. I think he just kind of ran away. He gave up internet stardom and just wants to go be a hermit somewhere, I guess.
I think so.
But I feel bad because I'm pretty sure I promised last week that he would for sure be here.
Yeah.
So
we're going to stop promising anything. I jumped the gun. Like, we just, more promises.
It's like anytime we promise something, it's like the universe goes out of its way to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But we apologize, and I know he apologizes as well. Garrett is just extremely busy right now, but I'm pretty sure he will be with us next weekend, and I know he hates that he cannot be here with us as well. So yeah, that's pretty much it with that. But besides that, Jacob's doing well. I'm doing well. This was a pretty good week with video games, and I had a good week of video games, playing a lot of good stuff. But man, the future is very bright. The immediate future, we have a lot of really good stuff coming out this month and next month, and I'm super pumped. How about yourself?
Yeah, I sent out a tweet yesterday, but what a start to this year. I've had four games personally that have come out that I've just been pretty much blown away by. And then we have like The Division coming out this coming week. And then the next week it's Sekiro. So like, it's not stopping anytime soon. And I'm pretty pumped to play all of these games.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you in The Division. Sekiro, my hype has been kind of mild, but seeing some of these previews come out the past day or two, I'm getting a lot more excited, or the most excited that I've been for that game than I've ever been.
Sure. Yeah.
Just looks really cool. Kind of looking into the systems, the whole final blow system where you have to like get your enemy stamina low so you can go in for the final blow, but they can do that with you. That just seems like a really cool just a concept. And just kind of everything. I'm kind of trying to stay away too much. I want to go into that game somewhat blind, so I know a few vague things like that system and stuff, but the combat just looks absolutely incredible. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Do you know what exactly, like, what day it comes out? Is it a Tuesday or is it a Friday for Sekiro? I guess I could just look it up right now.
Yeah, that'd be good. I did check out the Digital Foundry PS4 Pro kind of rundown of how that game runs, and unfortunately From Software is not taking advantage of the Pro. I believe it's still 1080p and it still has its frame pacing issues.
Yeah,
where I know the game's unlocked, I don't think it goes below 30 frames per second, but when it kind of gets around 30 frames, it has that weird frame pacing stutter issue that Bloodborne had, and still can't get up into the 60s on console. I'm not quite sure about the Xbox One X, but I would be shocked if it was a lock 60 as well. So I'm probably going to end up picking that one up on PC.
There you go.
I picked up Devil May Cry 5 a few days ago. I got it on PS4.
Yeah, I got it on Friday too. Are you got it on PS4?
Yes, I did. That was just a PS4 game to me for some reason.
I'm using a PS4 controller, but I'm playing it on PC.
And it runs, it looks fantastic, and it runs at 60 frames.
Yeah, dude, the game looks so good in Ultra.
Yeah, dude. The RE engine is incredible, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've only seen like three games on it, but I'm a massive fan of it. It is seems like the games just really run extremely well on it, and I love the lighting of it. And the facial animations in Resident Evil 7 were okay, but Resident Evil 2 and Devil May Cry 5, the faces look insane, dude.
Yeah,
they look really good. Yeah. So, let's talk about Devil May Cry 5.
Let's
do it. We're on the subject.
Yeah, we both played it.
I think that's pretty much what we've been playing since it came out on this past Friday. What are your thoughts, having never played a Devil May Cry game?
Yes, that's important to note. I have never played a Devil May Cry before this one. So, the only thing that I know like prior is that I watched that little trailer, I guess, before I started the game, which was in the menus. But the game is awesome, dude. For some reason, like before this game came out, I just expected it to not be that great. I don't know. For some reason, I was just doubting it that I would even like it that much. But once I saw the good reviews come out, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to get this because it's sounding a lot like Bayonetta and I've always wanted to try that. And, you know, it kind of gave me a little bit of vibes of Kingdom Hearts in a way, just the combat a little bit. It's the whole hack and slash thing. So I jumped in and I did not expect to like this game as much as I do. I've only played about maybe four and a half hours of the game, but my God, I love how like with the different characters, I've only unlocked two of them so far, so I can't speak anything about Dante, but just the two that I've used so far, like I love the variety between the two characters. And I love how in some of the missions you can pick between them. And I just love like how different they are. And just because of that, like it just breathes a lot more depth into the game, I guess, because just overall, it's just like a very linear, like, you know, stage based, like linear experience. Like it's going to be the same thing. Like you can't like venture off and go find like a hidden path or some shit. But but yeah, just the characters themselves add so much depth. I heard a lot of people complaining about V just in our Discord. It might have just been one person, actually. But I actually kind of like him. I like it. Kind of reminded me like a hunter in WoW, just because of like the pet base, like attacking and stuff. And I just like how you can kind of do the same combos on V as you do with Nero, but it's like the pets that are doing it. It's just kind of cool to see. And and this is also like something so small, but I just love just like a little touch. But I love when you like unlock V sprint and he like slides on the ground with his cane. It's so sick, dude. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do. Yeah. Sometimes it's like the coolest animation. It's a little too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're trying to kind of explore a little bit, you just jump on that thing and fly past what you're trying to look at.
Right, yeah. But I love, what's his face, Nero's gloves. I love the variety just in that itself of the double breakers. Mm-hmm. Just all the variety that you can unlock within those. Like the world design is surprisingly, like I didn't expect this, but it like the world just looks good. Like, I don't know, like there's a lot of scale to it. You can see far away. It looks good. And I'm just kind of, you know, taken aback by how much I like this game. I could go on and on, but I want to hear you speak a little bit about it.
Yeah, I really like it. The only Devil May Cry experience I've had is I played about 3/4 of the way through 4.
Okay.
Anybody that's played 4, I pretty much got to play as Dante and made it a little... You pretty much in 4, you play as Nero up until a point, and then you take over as Dante and kind of work your way back as Dante. And I got a few hours back in as a Dante. I tried to jump back into it a few months ago, but I completely forgot how to play the game, and there were some enemies that were just destroying me, so I kind of quit playing. But anyways, that's all the experience I've had with Devil May Cry, and this game definitely feels a lot like it. There's even the combos are the same and stuff for Nero. I do like it a whole lot. I'm still kind of getting into it. I've had a massive problem this weekend, and this is my own fault, but I cannot get into this game for some reason.
Really?
Every time I pick up the controller, I swear I play for like 30 minutes and then somebody's screaming my name and I have to go do something. And it's completely pulling me out of this game, and it's irritating me so bad. So definitely not the game's fault, but I haven't been able to fully just sit down and just play the game.
Yeah.
And it's making me have like a disconnect from the game right now. So,
I feel that.
I really need a day to just sit down and play it. But I'm a few hours in. I might be around where you are. I've played as V and everything. I have not got to play as Dante yet, but
I feel like I'm getting kind of close.
Yes, I kind of feel the same way as well. V is probably my biggest complaint in the game.
Oh.
I do not hate V in the slightest, but I do feel like the Panther, I don't know if I fully have like kind of put my mind around how to exactly control him yet.
Have you unlocked some of his combos?
Yes, but the problem is getting him to attack somebody. Sometimes I'll start a combo and he's like halfway to the guy and not on the guy.
Yeah.
And I'm locked on and everything. So it probably just, I just haven't figured out exactly how to do it yet.
Kind of like just like Nero, like he has that ability where you hold a bumper, then press up and Y and it'll like dash to the enemy. Just like Nero. So like I kind of try to spam that whenever I see him like next to me or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just kind of got used to like, because you're right. Like he does, like he kind of sticks to you a lot of times if you're not like spamming his button. So I always like, I guess I open with that and he's around the enemies after that.
Yeah. So far I love playing I like playing Nero more than V. Yeah, like
I would agree with
came
that.
Up. When it came up as like Nero or V, I didn't even think about it. I was just like, boop, Nero.
Same,
like,
same.
No contest. So much. Such a cool character, dude. I absolutely love to death just the cheesiness of the dialogue and stuff. It is just so
many
cool.
Cheesy Nero, one-liners.
Nero is such a badass. I love Nico. I think she's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love their quips back and forth. I think it's so cool. I think V as a character is really cool too. I love his Griffin, the giant bird thing, just how they kind of, their relationship together is pretty funny.
He's a chicken.
Yeah. And I think it's cool how you can to up your devil limit, you can read in combat too as V. I think that's pretty funny and cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far I'm really enjoying the game. I have seen from a few people say that the game gets way better once you unlock Dante.
Yeah, I've heard he's very fun.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to that. The big thing right now is that I kind of am understanding is that this game isn't really about beating it. Kind of like how... Let me relate this to Resident Evil 2.
Okay.
Your first playthrough of Resident Evil 2 was like a horror game, adventure game. You know, you're exploring and things are scaring you. But after you beat it that initial time, the main point of the game is to play through it again multiple times and to do it fast. Mm-hmm. So it almost turns into like an arcade game, you know? And this game's essentially the exact same thing, whereas you're supposed to be playing through it multiple times as well, getting, you know, high scores and stuff.
Gotcha.
So it kind of makes me feel, and I think I'm not really sure. I think it's a mental issue with me playing this game and trying to get the highest ranking, and I'm like dropping combos and stuff and I'm like, ugh, like I want to try that again, but the enemies are going down so fast. And I think that's one of my biggest problems is I don't even know if I can get super high combos on the difficulty that I'm on. I'm playing on human. What difficulty are you playing on?
There's only two, right?
In the beginning. Yeah. There's human and devil. I think
I'm playing on devil. I second one.
Yes, I should have picked that one. Yeah. I'm absolutely steamrolling everything.
Oh, yeah.
And
see, I have like a big challenge in my playthrough. So,
yeah, see, I don't have any challenge right now. So I'm just destroying stuff and I'm not getting high. Like, I got a smoking sexy style one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that was awesome. But I want to do that like all the time. Like, I can't even do multiple combos on enemies because they're just dying so fast.
Yeah, that sucks.
So I kind of feel like I'd be enjoying the game a lot more if I was on a harder difficulty. Mm-hmm. But I want to try and platinum this game. I've never really put a lot of time into a game like this that is so based on, you know, it combo based and getting, you know, high scores and stuff. I've never really invested myself in a game like this before.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to try that, but I'm gonna kind of, you know, get through the campaign now. And I think if you beat it one time, it unlocks Dante Must Die mode or the super hard difficulty. I don't know, but yeah, I'll try and play through it again on that. But yeah, the two issues that I can't get into it are totally my fault, but just objectively looking at the game and just the systems and the graphics and the story so far.
And
just
the music. The music's so good.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Nero's theme, Devil Trigger song. Yeah, dude, that song is so cool. Fighting to that song is so awesome.
Dude, the...
Even V's song is pretty cool, too.
Yeah. The opening... I guess the credit opening and like cinematic, that thing was so badass. It gave me straight Deadpool vibes. for sure.
Oh yeah, jumping out of the van and stuff, yeah. and flying back. Yeah, I don't know how to activate it, but have you seen the concept cutscenes that you can activate?
No.
Okay, so I don't know if you need the deluxe edition or something, but I think you can go into the options and activate the concept cutscenes, which are live action with actual people, and it's super low budget versions of the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Like for instance, one of the very first boss fights where you fight the Goliath, where he throws an ambulance at you and you get stuck in it and you roll and just walk out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That done in the live action is, it's like a cardboard van and they're physically rolling it, but it's like a little miniature version and they like green screen the guy in walking out of it. It's hilarious.
Is this purely like done for comedic effect? Like,
oh yeah, it's hilarious, but yeah. I should probably look into it more, but I think these were like the concept versions of what they wanted the cutscenes to be. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if they did it just to be funny or not. I might be wrong, but yeah, they're hilarious. Like I said, I think they might only come in the deluxe edition. I'm not exactly sure, so I probably should have looked into that.
Sure, you could find them on YouTube.
Oh yeah, that's how I found them, was just looking on there. But anything else you'd like to add? I don't think I have really anything else besides I'm just really enjoying it and I can't wait to get back into it.
Yeah, no, I just really enjoy the combat, the soundtrack again. It's probably the best music that's come out this year, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm excited to get back to it. I'll probably finish it by the time we talk about it again next week. So we'll have more thoughts then.
For sure. Yeah, I'll definitely have a lot more to say. Unfortunately, that's about the only thing that I've played this week. This week has been extremely busy for me. I have grandparents moving and I'm having to help them. I started a new job down in Atlanta this week. Not like new job, but I'm doing a new location down in Atlanta this week that my hours are 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I'm waking up at 3 a.m. and like leaving my house a little bit before 4.
Yeah.
And my sleep schedule was so messed up. There was like 3 days in a row I was only getting 3 hours of sleep.
Oh.
So because I have to go to bed at like 7 or 8 to get 8 hours. And my body it's just weird doing that where the rest of my wife and stuff is up and getting home from school and everything. So it's completely messed up. Oh, speaking of my wife, I don't think I said it last week, but my wife was officially accepted into the University of Georgia.
Hey, round of applause.
Yes, yes, yes. Very proud of her. I think that is awesome, especially me being a huge Georgia fan. I could not be happier about that.
Hell yeah, man. So, congrats.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very excited for her about that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I did video games wise. Anything else you played?
I only played Apex. Like that was pretty much it. A lot of wins this week.
Nice.
So I discovered something last night while I was playing Preston. Do you know the Prowler SMG? It takes heavy ammo.
I do. That is the burst SMG, correct?
That gun is awesome. Let me tell you why. You get the select fire attachment. You put that on full auto. That thing is so accurate, dude. Like, I was destroying people last night. I had a 13 kill game. Like, it was just insane. Like, I even like it more than the R99 SMG, and that was like my old favorite gun. If like the Prowler, it's like it's good. It's accurate when you don't have the full auto mode. But if you put full auto on there, oh, it just feels so good. There's no recoil. It just lasers people. And I can't stop thinking about it, Preston. I'm going to be honest. It just makes me real happy. But other than that, yeah, I've just been playing a lot of Apex. You know, I just wanted to talk about that gun. But we can jump right into the news if you want to.
That's really cool. I did want to bring up really quick one of our Ask IOG questions that has something to do with Devil May Cry 5.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Wham Blam 53. Hello, boys.
Boys.
I have been playing a lot of Devil May Cry 5, and I thought I would ask you amazing, sexy droplets of humanity who your favorite playable character in the game is. Try to think of fighting styles and weapons to go along with your answer. My favorite, of course, is Dante because of his ability to turn into a demon and switch between fighting styles. I hope that isn't considered a spoiler, but he has been able to do that since the beginning. I do know that, like we said, we only have Dante or Nero and V unlocked, but I can already tell from what I've seen of Dante and what I've heard, he probably will be my favorite to play with as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now for me, it's, I guess my, so what's the question? My favorite.
Just who's your favorite playable character?
I guess, and, Nero.
Yeah.
And, I guess I can go over like one of my favorite Devil Breakers that would add a little more variety to this answer. I love the rocket one. Have you rode the rocket that you shoot?
I have.
It's awesome. Is that just,
yeah.
Yep. It's so cool. I also like the one that's a whip. I forgot what it's called.
Mm-hmm. That's Rawhide, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right. And what was the other one?
Helter Skelter.
Which one's that one again?
It's the it has the little three prongs and it kind of looks like royal Victorian look. It's
kind of gold looking. Yeah. Is that the one that like breaks guard?
Yes, it does. That is correct.
The other one I like is, it's like the one that like, I don't know if you've unlocked this one yet, but it like you press a circle on the PlayStation controller and it like powers up your sword. Like it revs it up for you and it just does more damage. I love that one.
That one is good too. I'm trying to remember the name of that.
That's a problem I always have. I always forget to rev up my sword if I don't use that gauntlet.
Dude, that glove. I've looked at some of the pro players, and if you hit the rev at a precise moment of your attack, it automatically fills.
I think that's a skill you have to unlock.
Maybe. I think you can do it. I don't believe so, because I can do it occasionally.
Okay.
But the really good guys, during their combos, they're like, their gauge is going up all the time.
I gotta look into that.
They're just hitting L2. Yes, it's insane. I'm not very good at that. So I end up just spamming L2 while I'm doing combos, and occasionally I'll get an on time rev and I'll get one bar. Mm-hmm. But I do like that, getting like a full like three bar rev doing the back the launcher. And you do like all the spins up in the air to hit them. That's really, really cool move. I like the way that looks a lot. But everything I've seen from Dante looks insane. The fist fighting combat style or whatever, where you can punch like a million times an hour. That looks so sick. I saw one guy have dual rocket launchers. Shoot him. Like, it seems like Dante is just insane compared to everybody else from what I've seen from him so far.
Yeah.
So very cool. I think that's it for any Devil May Cry related answers. Like we said earlier, we'll definitely have a lot more to say about it next week, and I'm sure Garrett will as well. From the conversations we've briefly had this week, he's extremely excited to play DMC as well. So I'm sure he'll be playing and have some stuff to say this upcoming weekend or the next time he's on.
Dude, that's sick.
Anyway. Yeah, man. Time to get into the news. This is the It's Obvious Podcast, the show where normally my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube isn't good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Audioboom, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for links to our social media pages, our Discord channel, pretty much everything you would ever need to get in contact with us. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. And be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. But with all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news? And I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
So the first thing, first thing that we have on here is some news about the new Star Wars game coming out supposedly this year by Respawn. We found out that Chris Avellone is indeed writing Jedi Fallen Order, and he has finished the script. This is a big deal because he wrote Knights of the Old Republic 2. He wrote Fallout New Vegas. I believe he is writing The Outer Worlds, Obsidian's new title, which I think I said last week I'm extremely excited to check out. What else did he write? Come up with anything else off the top of my head. I do know he's writing Dead crap. What's that zombie game?
Dead Island.
No. The other one.
The
parkour one. Dying Light. Yeah, Dying Light 2. He is also writing Dying Light 2. But yeah, this is super exciting. And the along to go with that, we're going to see our first snippet of Fallen Order at Star Wars Celebration this year.
Which is in Chicago, I think in
it is.
May?
April.
April?
Mm-hmm.
Sometime.
It's in April. It's okay. Sometime. Jacob, how do you feel about this game? It's getting closer. We have a fantastic writer on this game that we know now, and we have a fantastic studio developing this game.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. All Star
Wars
games.
Seems like a match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, it should be, right? But it's EA, you know? I mean, Respawn, they told a good story in Titanfall 2, apparently. So, you know, I guess I could have my hopes up in regards to that. I've just been disappointed by all the Star Wars games so far, so I'm not really, like, you know, really hoping that this is going to be great. Like, if it is, that's great. If it's not, then, you know, it's just another EA Star Wars game, unfortunately. But, well, like, yeah, I don't even know what the game's going to be. It's hard for me to really say.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. It's been confirmed you will have lightsabers.
Yeah.
So it is a Jedi game. I mean, I have no reason to think that this won't be less than a good game. I can't see Respawn not making a good game. And Chris Avellone, like I said, has proven that he is an excellent writer. He's written Star Wars stuff before. And yeah, I can't. Every story that I've in a game that I've played from him, I've enjoyed immensely. So I'm not seeing any red flags with this game besides EA. But if the game EA is what EA is, but EA is not, I don't think, going to make the game bad. They'll just put stupid stuff in the game or try and make monetize stupid things. But they're not going to, like, make the game or the gameplay loop or the story bad.
Sure.
I don't think. So I'm excited for this. I can't wait to actually just kind of see what it is. Like, we've seen nothing, and the game is still coming out this year, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
So, yeah, I believe them. I do think it'll come out this year.
Isn't it crazy that they're working on Apex and at the same time they're working on the Star Wars game? Like, I don't know how big their team is, but I don't know. It just seems like a lot to.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, it seems like a lot to handle.
Speaking of them, Apex Legends has hit 50 million players, Jacob.
Oh, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of accounts. People. A lot of cheaters too. So many cheaters.
Via IGN, while not specified, this 50 million player number is likely referring to anyone who has ever downloaded and played the game on PC, PlayStation 4, or Xbox One, regardless if it was one match or 100. Here are some more statistics. They've also revealed that over the last month, 158 million finishers have been used, 1.23 billion ultimates have been activated, 31 billion pings have been placed, there have been 170 million respawns, and more.
Well, how many billion pings?
31 billion pings.
Jesus, dude, that's a lot of,
that's
a lot
of pings. It's a lot of pings.
Like, Fortnite saw that statistic and they're like, dude, we got to put that in Fortnite.
Yeah, they want some pings too. But yeah, not surprising. It's still going, man. People still love it. It's still going. I'm assuming we'll be seeing some info on the Battle Pass here shortly.
I hope so. I need it.
That's what's going to... I haven't played in a while. Not because I don't immensely enjoy the game, but I haven't had time, like I said. But once this Battle Pass comes out and I actually have a, you know, carrot at the end of the stick to keep me going unlocking things, I think I'll get into it a lot more than I have been this past week or two.
Yeah.
So also in EA news, Anthem players allegedly experiencing PS4 shutdowns claim Sony is offering refunds. This is also via IGN. A number of PlayStation 4 owners are allegedly experiencing console crashes while trying to play Anthem, leading to an influx of refund requests aimed at Sony and Electronic Arts. As reported by Kotaku, players are posting their experiences across Reddit, Twitter, and the official Anthem forum, detailing a problem in which their PS4s completely and unexpectedly shut down while trying to play or close out of BioWare's online RPG. When encountering a crash or game error, sometimes I get booted to the main menu or out of the game completely to the PS4 dashboard, wrote Reddit user For The Master. But twice now, when trying to mashmake, my PS4 has completely turned off. The thread and others like it are filled with players claiming to have encountered the same problem.
This isn't good. or it wasn't good.
It's fixed now. I mean, it's not good. It's just one more thing to kind of put on their plate.
Yep.
When they don't really need anything else on their plate, you know.
Yep. I mean, this didn't happen at launch. This didn't happen at launch. It happened like after a patch they put in, which is crazy.
I don't think it's like a massive problem, but I mean, it's enough to where if a few people are having the same problem, of course, you know, it'll get the headlines.
Yeah. It was just on PS4, right?
Yes, I believe so. There was also, I should have bookmarked it, but some Reddit user found that the starting rifle in the game, it's technically the strongest weapon in the game.
Yep.
I thought that was a pretty funny headline there. Dude, the name of the guy that found it was freaking hilarious, too. It was like Swagmaster or something, or like Yeet something, Lord Yeet. It was a pretty hilarious name. Like, in the article, it's all professional, and it's like, as found by the Yeet Lord.
Yeah. I think funny. Before I forget, I think Destiny had a similar problem one time, where in the first Destiny, you remember the Kvostov gun that you started off with in the first mission?
Yes.
Apparently, like, that gun was really good in the Crucible, and it was like better than almost every weapon in the game at one point.
I do remember that. I do. Didn't they bring that gun back?
Yeah, they made an exotic. At some point?
Yeah. That's cool.
I think because of that incident. And because of, like, it was the only gun like it. Like, it was unique and it just felt good to shoot, too. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Too bad Garrett's not here for this snippet of news. A news nug, as he would say. But apparently Death Stranding is a little behind schedule, according to Hideo Kojima. According to their internal release date, they're a little bit behind. But he says not to worry. They're not too far behind.
Oh.
That's it. That's the only snippet of Death Stranding we've had in a little bit. But
when do you think this game comes out? If they're a little behind.
I have no clue. I read something saying that he said a while ago he thought 2019. I mean, I don't think it's going to be 2019. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this was like a cross-generation PS5, PS4 type of game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know Garrett has his reservations about this game and stuff, but I'm extremely excited for it. I think it's going to be really, really cool. Based on some of the reactions from the people that have actually seen the game, I have really high expectations for this game, and I'm fairly confident they'll be met.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a game I'm gonna play. There's like no scenario where I wouldn't play it.
For sure. Dude, one day I want to go back and it's never gonna happen, but I would love to just go back and finish Metal Gear Solid 5 at some point.
That's never gonna happen for me.
As I've said multiple times, that should be my favorite game of all time. And for some reason, it's not. It doesn't make sense to me. It has everything I would ever want in a game, but it just can't grab me for some reason. No clue why. Anyway, another news nug. Alleged images of the CGI Sonic the Hedgehog model were used in the upcoming film have leaked. Jacob, have you seen these pictures? And all the news today is from IGN, so thank you, IGN, for that.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think it looks fine. I don't really care.
I think some of the outrage is justified, but maybe a little too extreme. I mean, like, what did you think he was gonna look like? I
guess kind of like this. Like, I didn't really know, like, you know, like, yeah, this is kind of what I expected.
No, exactly. I don't know how you can make Sonic the Hedgehog look like any better in real life. I don't know. I want to see him in, like, I want to see him in the movie before I have any actual thoughts. Cause you know, just seeing a concept art or a picture or whatever, it's whatever. I'm sure if, you know, I don't know, seeing Mr. Mime looks scary as hell, even in the movie, but like when you kind of look at him for a little bit and he's moving around, it's like, okay, that's fine. It's Mr. Mime. Yeah. So maybe we'll have the exact same, thoughts about Sonic once we kind of see him in a trailer or whatever.
Exactly. I do think his face looks a little goofy, but you know, I don't really.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. I'm not a big Sonic guy, though.
Dude, that movie's coming out this year. Can you believe the world is where it is in the sense of we're having a live action Pokemon and live action Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out in same year?
No.
Like, it blows my mind. Like, I don't even know how to, like, I don't think my brain can compute that fully.
It's you know insane. What I you know what I think it is? I think it's Hollywood like trying to like find a way to cater to like a younger audience, because I'm pretty sure I like read an article recently that like millennials are like just young people around our age and younger just aren't going to see movies anymore, like even more drastically than the generation previously. Like that's no secret to anyone, but I feel like Hollywood's just trying to like think of new ways and like take things that younger people like, and they're trying to like put it in video or movie form and trying to get people out. But I mean, I can't tell you the last time I went to go see a movie, Preston. I think it was Avengers.
Me and Garrett went to go see Dragon Ball Super Broly. That's the last time I was in theaters a few weeks ago.
I literally think it's almost been a year since I've been to the movies.
I really want to go see Jordan Peele's new movie, Us.
That looks so good.
I'm pretty pumped for that. So I might have to go on down to the theater to check that out.
I was thinking about starting, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I Into the Spider-Verse. It's on iTunes now. I was thinking about renting it or buying it.
Dude, that movie is phenomenal. You need to watch it for sure. Should. Fantastic movie.
I'll get back to you on that.
Another news nug, Cyberpunk 2077 is indeed going to be at E3 this year. I know that's not blowing anybody's minds, but did you by chance check out the video feature that they put out? It was about 5 or 6 minutes long, and it was narrated by the voice actor of Geralt.
No. Can I have a link to this?
You should just Google it.
Okay, what should I Google?
Just the new Cyberpunk trailer. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. It shows a little bit new gameplay, but like I said, it has Geralt narrating everything, which is super weird to hear him talk. Like, it's his voice, but he's talking like a normal person.
Yeah.
He's not using like Witcher vernacular, so it's just really weird to hear that. They did update the release date at the end of the trailer by saying that it will be out when it is ready. So that's really good, which I'm completely fine with. But who knows how long that'll be. I think it'll come out next year. That's my guess. It's my hopeful guess. I think best case scenario is next year. Unless they're going to shadow drop it and announce the release date at E3 and it's coming out later this year. Yeah. That would be insane, but that's not happening.
Yeah, I think 2020.
I think that'll be a safe bet. And I definitely, I would not be surprised also if this was a cross-generation game as well. This might be the game that makes me upgrade my GPU. Maybe. I might be hopping over to the 2080 Ti for this game. We'll see.
We'll see,
Jacob. We'll see. We'll see how it is. Square Enix has revealed that a new console Octopath Traveler game is in the works alongside a mobile prequel, Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent, which will come to Japan first. Now, that game hasn't, I don't think, officially been announced for America yet, but I think we can assume that at some point it is coming. Are you excited to see that also with this mobile game that they pretty much confirmed they are doing a new console game as well?
I am. I think I've said this a few times, but I think those games are very charming. Last week I was just talking about the game as to how I probably wasn't going to finish it because I was like halfway through and I didn't have time to really play it again. But that doesn't take away from how much I do actually like that game, and like its art style is just really awesome. I loved how the world looked. That was definitely the main selling point for me, and I want to see like what they do with a sequel and even with the mobile game. I think it could work really well on mobile.
I agree. You there?
Sorry, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think my mic just cut off for some reason.
Yeah, no, sorry. Sure. All right, cool, we're back.
Okay.
Let me make sure. I'm sure I would have agreed with everything you said if you were talking.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm a little... That's fine. I'm a little lukewarm. I did enjoy Octopath Traveler a lot, but nothing really compelled me enough to continue playing it, and I'm not necessarily too excited about another one. Just for some reason, it really didn't catch. I don't know. It really didn't keep me hooked to it.
Do you think there's something they could do, like a sequel, to make you like it more? Like, do you think, for me, I feel like the characters weren't they weren't memorable enough. They could do a lot more there. Okay. I think. But I enjoyed like the combat. I thought that was fun in itself.
No, I definitely enjoyed the combat a lot as well. But yeah, I'm not just sure. Just like, I think it's beautiful and I had fun from what I played, but I'm just not really drawn. Like I'm really drawn to Dragon Quest. Like I can't wait to kind of clear some stuff off my plate so I can really go back to that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a JRPG that I'm extremely interested in.
What about Xenoblade 2?
Yeah, man. I actually, I do want to finish that at some point. I got back into it 2 or 3 months ago and played a ton of it again, but I dropped off yet again. But I do think eventually I'll beat that game at some point. But anywho, those are our news nugs for this week. The only thing that we have left is that Days Gone has gone gold, Jacob.
Whoa,
it's done.
It is crazy.
Yeah,
it's all done already.
Comes out next month, kind of at the end of April. A bunch of previews have come out, and some more positive than others, but the main thing that they all share in common is that it's not really reinventing the wheel in terms of open world, Ubisoft-ish games, go to this area, clear this out, etc. type of open world game that we've all come to know, but it's just an extremely solid one of those games with a very interesting story and really good graphics.
Yep, that's pretty much what I took away too. Yeah, I just heard that it's a really awesome open world and that it's a lot. It's just it's just dense with, you know, just things to do, places to go, like interesting things to find. It just seems mm-hmm. like a nice open world game.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like I said with Sekiro, I'm more hyped for the game after all the previews and as it's getting closer. I feel the exact same way about this game. Everything I've seen story-wise for this game seems really cool to me. Just Deacon seems interesting, mainly about his relationship with his wife. Just kind of how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that style of open world game, and for it to be a really competent one, that excites me.
I'm really eager to just play the game and see all those are they called freakers, like whatever they're called.
Yeah,
the swarm freakers. Whatever the hell they're called. I'm just freakers. Eager to see like how that actually feels like playing it and them actually coming at me. Like I want to see what that feels like, and like, is that going to like terrify me? Is it going to excite me? Whatever it is, I want to see what it is. And also the motorcycle. It seems like it's going to be
for sure
a huge part of the game, which is, you know, that's not been any secret. But I want to see like how it feels to drive it. Like, does it feel good? Like, I hope it does because it's such a big part.
And from what I've read, it does.
Yeah.
I heard one guy say the gunplay wasn't that good, but I haven't heard any other previews really pointed out, so neither I'm sure it's a personal taste.
Neither is Red Dead's, but I still enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, that is 1000% true.
It can't be as bad as Red Dead.
That is true. 20% of Days Gone's 30-hour main campaign will reportedly be also made up of in-game cutscenes.
That's fine.
So that's a lot of cutscenes. Yeah, that's fine. And like I said, from the previews, the story seems like a really big part of this game, which also makes me a lot more interested in it as well. I want something to be, I want a narrative to be pushing me through all of the encampments and fast travel locations. Yeah. Like, I want to feel like I'm doing it for a reason, doing it to benefit a group of people. I want something to keep me going in this game. Because if it's a 30-hour campaign, and I believe IGN's preview that I read is that was one of the points he made, is that him playing 5 hours, he had a ton of fun, but if this is a 30-hour campaign, is it going to get old? Are there going to be new things introduced? Is there going to be enough narrative to really make you want to push through these 30 hours and have fun the entire time doing it, and for it to not get old? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I would actually prefer this game to be like 30 hours as opposed to like a Skyrim that's like 100 if you want to play the whole thing, you know? I think this time length kind of appeals to me more than a longer one would, for sure.
For sure.
And for sure. What else was I going to say? Preston, what was I going to say?
I don't know, Jacob. I can say something that for some reason, watching the previews of this game has really makes me want to go back and play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Interesting.
But I don't know why. So I might do that eventually. I'm not sure. I still have a few trophies to get in that game, so that'll at least give me something to work towards as I play it.
Yeah.
But
for some reason, I've been thinking
just
about
open world PS4 game.
Yeah, I've been thinking about The Last of Us 2 this week. Like, I just want to know when it comes out, and I want to play it, man. I watched the streamer like play a little bit of The Last of Us 1. I was just kind of thinking about the game this week. I was like, man, that really was a good game. I don't give that game enough credit. So shout out to The Last of Us.
Shout out to The Last of Us for sure.
You think that game comes out this year before we transition?
No. I want it to really, really bad, but I'm going to not disappoint myself and say no.
That's a good call.
Yes, sir. But I think that'll do it for the news this week.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Did you see the leak, apparently, that the game is coming out this year? There was like someone took a picture. It was like something that was in some European like store. I think there was like a poster that said like October or something. I need to actually find a source before I say this. Let me look something.
Okay.
Say something
while
funny.
While you find that, we're going to go into Ask IOG. We greatly appreciate anybody that sends us these questions. Please check out our Discord. We have an Ask IOG tab. You can leave us questions there. Make sure to use the hashtag Ask IOG to make sure you want your question read on the show. You can also email us at itsobviousgaming.com. Or not .com. itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at itsobvious_gaming. I believe that's our Twitter. Actually, just check the link down below and you'll see our Twitter page. I can't remember it off the top of my head. And you can tweet at us, hashtag AskIOG as well. Our first question comes from Nerf the God. Hello, you sexy stud muffins.
Oh.
Fan from... I'm not sure if this is a joke or a real place. Shitsinati. I'm assuming that's a joke.
I think he's just talking shit on his own city.
Okay. All right. Fan from Shitsinati here. Okay. I get it now. Very funny. My very original question for you guys, what makes a game perfect for you? Rather it be story, level design, game style, literally what makes a game 10 out of 10 for you three. Also, I absolutely love you guys, and I'm always super pumped when a new podcast drops. Literally makes my day. And also, I feel like a total idiot when I added you guys on Origin. I accidentally kept inviting Preston to a game of Apex, LOL. So if you see Nerf the God keep popping up, my bad. Add me back, Jacob and Garrett. When quads come, we have to squad up. Anyways, I've rambled enough. Have a good one. Stay golden. It's quite fine, Nerf the God. I'm not even sure if I saw that. So you're quite fine. I know I can already answer for Jacob. Jacob is all in on a story. It doesn't matter if the game sucks ass. It's all about the story.
That's right brother.
No, I mean, I think like in a serious answer, I think it's a little bit of all of those, right? Like, I think, of course, story matters most, like Preston said. I mean, you got to have a fantastic narrative to really carry the gameplay along, right? But on top of that, you need a good soundtrack, of course. Most games that I love have really good music. I mean, those are like the big three for me: music, combat, and story.
Yeah, it's different. I think it's a by game scenario. For instance, Breath of the Wild doesn't really have a compelling or great narrative at all, but that's a 10 out of 10 for me. I think the gameplay and I guess you could say storytelling in the sense of you're kind of making your own story in the sense of just the adventures that you go on.
Yeah.
Make that game at a 10 out of 10 for me. Whereas on the other hand, God of War has an extremely well-crafted story that kind of pushes you along to go through the game along with excellent gameplay and excellent soundtrack. It has, it's the triple threat in that sense. And that's also a 10 out of 10 for me as well. So I think it, I think it really matters. I think in a perfect world, you know, you want all three of those things.
Sure.
But I do think if the game is fun enough and the story is mediocre, I will find myself still playing the game.
Yeah.
But if a story is incredibly well and the game's mediocre, then I'll still kind of play through that as well just to see the story. So I know that's not necessarily a good answer, but like I said, I think an ideal game has everything. But besides that, it kind of just varies, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a case by case scenario, just depending on what you're playing. Like, for example, I think Apex is like a 10 out of 10 for me. And, you know, that has it has a little bit of story. Like, they've done little trailers and the characters have like, lore, you know, lore and whatnot on the website. Yeah. But, you know, that game's story is pretty much absent. I mean, it exists in the Titanfall universe. That's about it. And I love the gameplay enough in that game and the music, like, you know, to the point where I just think it's a 10 out of 10. So, it's just really, it just depends like how you feel at a certain time and when you play a game, you know, and how it appeals to you.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think that's really a answer that you can give a for sure thing on. It just varies. I mean, like look at Mario Odyssey.
Sure. Yeah.
That's not built around, you know, story or anything, and it's an absolutely fantastic game as well.
Yep. Did you finish it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I didn't get like all the everything or whatever.
Yep, same. But, I just finished the story. I
definitely did finish it. But yeah, thank you very much for that question, sir. We hope we somewhat answered it good enough. Our next question is from Game Nerd One. Hello, boys. I am moving my PS4 and soon to include a PC setup into my room. Is there any ideas for a monitor you guys would recommend? Looking for two HDMI, and what is better, flat or curved? In terms of a monitor, I think it depends on the hardware that is in your computer. I definitely would recommend a higher refresh rate monitor, either 122 or 144 for sure. If you have the GPU that can effectively take use of that.
Yeah, there's always pretty good deals on like 1080p 144 hertz monitors. Like they've kind of gone down in price, so they're kind of like,
and also for 1440 or 2560 by 1440 as well, you can get some good deals on those.
I would say
don't
go any lower than like a 60 hertz monitor.
Yeah, for sure. If you're using a monitor for your PS4, AOC actually makes a very affordable 4K 60 hertz monitor with HDR as well. So if you have a PS4 Pro and you want to have a two monitor setup, and you're going to have your PlayStation 4 hooked up to one, if you have a Pro, like I said, I would definitely look into that as well, because you can get those for fairly cheap. We're not like cheap, but definitely cheaper than they used to be, for sure.
And as far as like curved monitors go, I've never used one, but I don't really like see myself wanting to have one. I mean, it would kind of make sense because my computer or my monitor's in a corner in my room, so it might look cool in the corner. But
they definitely look cool. I should probably know, since I work in the audio video industry, what the actual benefits are curved are. All I do know is that every client I've ever had in terms of home theater, offices, anything, churches, etc., I've installed one curved screen in the 6 years I've been doing this.
Jeez, yeah. They're just like standard.
I think they're purely just a coolness, or just as you like the aesthetics of it.
Yeah. I would never play like a shooter on a curved monitor, I don't think. Unless it just became like standard, because I just feel like it would be different.
Yeah, I think they're cool if, you know, you're at your desk and you kind of have this kind of a screen that kind of goes into your peripheral vision around you. I can see how that can be really cool. In terms of like TVs, I never really understood that. I think that was more of like a gimmick. Like I said, I only installed one. It was for this super rich couple down in Atlanta. And it was when they first came out. So it was stupid expensive. And it wasn't even like that big of a TV anyways. And I had to put it on this articulating mount in this cabinet. So they would open the cabinets and like pull the TV out. But because it was curved, and like I said, it wasn't that big. It was like a 50-something inch, and the room was huge, and it was like in a corner. So they would have to angle it weird to like look at it. Like, it made zero sense. They purely bought it because it was super expensive, and it was like the new thing. But even then, I was like, this is cool, I guess. But like, it kind of doesn't make any sense, especially for this room. I don't know. So... yeah, those are kind of my thoughts on that curve. So I would say probably flat. You have a much bigger variety of choices with flat monitors and can probably get a cheaper one that's flat as opposed to curved. So that is my opinion on that.
I'd agree with that.
And I thought we had one more question from Las Vegas, but he was actually replying to the question that we just had. So I think
Comatose's question.
Oh, my bad. I forgot I skipped over that. Thank you, Comatose. The discussion I had with Jalka and Bojangles just now made me want to ask you guys about the idea of a Switch Mini or Switch Pro. Which would you prefer, or do you not want a revision at all? If a revision does happen, which one is more likely? Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, sir.
What do you think,
which one do I want? If I had to have one, I guess I would get the more powerful one.
Yeah.
A Switch Mini doesn't really get me going at all. Personally, I think the Switch is fine size wise.
I've never had a problem with it being too big. Then again, I carry mine on like a backpack, so it's not like I have that stupid pouch.
Yeah, I don't really carry mine around like I did as a kid with like a Game Boy or something, where I just stick it in my pocket to go to a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah,
you know. And so like while you're waiting for your food, you're playing Pokemon. I definitely just take it if I'm going on a plane or in the car, places like that. So I don't have to like shove it in my pocket. And if I need to shove it into a bag or a backpack or something, it's plenty small enough to do that. So I personally don't have a problem with the size, so I definitely would opt for a more powerful one.
So what if
I don't think I would buy that though?
What if they made a Switch Pro that, like, when it was undocked, it had 1080p? Would you like spend money to get that?
No.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either.
I would not. I think undocked, even I think it's so small that the pixel density looks fine even at 720p.
Yeah.
So
and the games run fine on it, so it's not like that's an issue either.
Yeah, I have not played. The only game I've played where I could definitely tell the frame rate was taking some dips was in Breath of the Wild and the Lost Woods.
I've seen it in Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, oh, yeah. Completely forgot about that. That was, I think, when our initial reviews when that game first came out, that was like my biggest critique is how the game ran.
Yeah, I love that game, but it definitely has some problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Makes no sense, too. It's very bland open world. Like, it, interesting. For Breath of the Wild to run a lot better with everything going on in that game is a little confusing as to why that game can't run any better.
Nintendo's good at making their own games, man.
That is a fact, sir.
Which surprises no one.
For sure. I think that's all the questions, Jacob.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for sending in those questions. Please send us some more for when Garrett comes back.
Yes, we need a lot of questions for when Garrett comes back, because we have caught up in terms of the ones that were up on our Discord. I know we have more on like email and Facebook and whatnot, but
So I'm sure he must have access to some more. But yeah, definitely on our Discord channel, if you're following us there, please leave us some questions there and on our Twitter page as well. But Jacob, unless you have any ending messages to end on, a little redundant there. You know what I mean, man.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Stumbling over my words here.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't necessarily have anything. Sorry, Garrett's not back this week, guys. Hopefully he will be back next week. I'm not going to promise that he's going to be back, obviously, because usually our promises are broken. But hopefully he's back. I don't see why he wouldn't be. I think his school is coming up, or it's rounding up here pretty soon. So he's going to have a little more time. But
I have a dinner date with this man on Tuesday.
Oh, where are you guys going?
Not sure yet, but where I'm working right now is right down the street from where he is. And I get off at 1 and he gets out of school at like 1:30. So we're going to go grab some lunch.
So not dinner, lunch.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Lunch date. But yeah, it'll be a good time. I'll pick his brain, see if we can get any more concrete details on this week, and I'm sure we'll let you guys know in the Discord channel.
For sure. So, but yeah, make sure you're, you know, join our Discord. Links in the description of our video and on YouTube.
For sure.
But yeah, it's great community. Everyone should join. It's a good time. Everyone's always talking about video games and whatnot. A lot of good people in here. Absolutely. Also, follow us on all our social medias.
And subscribe to us on the Apple Podcasting app as well. We would greatly appreciate that. Sorry, guys, for the slightly shorter podcast. I know both of us are fairly busy today. I got to go out to my mother's birthday dinner. That is tonight. So, yep,
and I'm going out to eat with my family. So
sounds good, man. Well, I guess we will end it here. Again, we greatly appreciate anybody that is tuning in, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.